welcome to today's podcast. Pastor Jim is on vacation. Delivering the service this Sunday is Pastor David, the assistant pastor here at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Black Road. Well, this podcast is a series designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. We're going to be looking at a journey worth taking. Here is Pastor David with this week's message. All right. Well, it's good to be here. And one, you know, I hope you had a fantastic Christmas because it was pretty busy for me. We went out to Chicago, had gotten to see my couple of my grandkids, three of them. And one of the things that we always do, and it started way back many years ago, is when Polar Express first came out, it became, as my grandkids came along, one of our traditions that they would have to sit with Papa and watch Polar Express. Now, as they've gotten older, they said, oh, yeah, do we have to do that? Yes, as my son-in-law would tell my grandson, you have to sit with Papa and enjoy it, okay? Smile and enjoy it. And so we watched Polar Express on Christmas Eve, and I love it. And there is I just want to bring your attention to it. One of the things is the very end. There's a wonderful saying. It says, it's not where you are going, it's deciding to get on. And that's going to be kind of our message today. And it's not taken from the Polar Express, so it's a good idea. But it is a journey, and we're going to be talking now about a journey. We're ending here with 2020, and we're going to be launching into 2021. And what is the journey? And for many of us, the journey has been a roller coaster. Tough year, 2020. Very difficult. And we're going to see as we go through the scriptures that this is not uncommon. Matter of fact, as if you joined at 9:45, you probably recognize the long list of people who we've been praying for, and the numbers just keep on adding. It seems as though at Christmas time, when there's an opportunity for families to get together, it also seems to be the opportunity for the enemy to attack. As we can see that in the nativity scene, when God sent those wonderful hosts of angels to the shepherds, and they didn't come in buses, they were there. And he revealed those angels there, the heavenly host. And were they there worshiping the birth of Christ? Oh, absolutely. But were they there also in great multitude to protect that child, to protect the Messiah, the coming of Christ? You know, and it seems as though every year Christmas comes along, and it has a wonderful opportunity to be able to celebrate and to recognize and to remember who our Savior is. And at the same time, it seems as though the enemy wants to do everything he can to take glory away from God and to get our attention off of him. So we're going to be looking at a journey today. And if you would, open your bulletins. And if you have your Bibles, you want to open to Matthew chapter 2. And we'll be going over that. But before we do, let me open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, and we thank you that we have the opportunity to be able to open your word, to be able to gather around you. I think of, Lord, the honor that I had as my grandchildren sat with me, and they watched this story and just had time together. We have an opportunity this morning to gather together to our Heavenly Father and to open his word and to hear a much more precious story. One that took place thousands of years ago that was destined to happen before the beginning of time. And then the angels were there to recognize and to celebrate and to glory, give glory to you. And yet, Father, we gather today to be able to look at a part of that story and to think about the journey that these wise men made, the Magi, and to think about the journey that you have put us on as we go forward with you. And again, it's who we are, it's who we go with, and that we get on this journey. So be with us as we open your word, let it speak to our hearts, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So today's message that I'm going to be talking about is a journey worth taking, and they came from afar. There's going to be 3 points to this message, and let me just go over them quickly before I even begin so that you kind of know the direction in which this journey will be taking. Well, they came bearing gifts to a place unknown. And we can already think about that. As we journey with Christ, where are we going? We know our final destination, but there's going to be a lot of curves along the way. There's going to be a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And along the way, we're going to lose loved ones. We're going to gain new loved ones. So they came bearing gifts to what? To an unexpected find. When we come to Christ, we come with anticipation and expectation. And we find him to meet all those, but we also find an unexpected find. Roads that we really never thought we would have to travel down. That God would protect us as from those roads. He only goes with us through those roads. Point two is they left having worshiped. They left having worshiped and they returned a different way. Whenever we come to Christ and we worship, when we recognize his hand upon our lives, that he is the one who controls the journey in which we go, what do? We return a different way. We're different people. They left having worshiped and they went to prepare. You know, Jesus gave us these wonderful words. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And we can understand that. As we look to the future, we think of the loved ones who have gone on before us. And like the old hymn says, if the circle remains unbroken, we shall see them in that sweet by and by. And we're going to see our loved ones there. We will go to that place that he has prepared. Point three is we're looking at the hindsight of 2020, and what does that mean? What's an escape from slavery? And he said, what? And we'll be looking at how this is actually a reference to the children of Israel, and God brought them out of Egypt. They brought them out of slavery. And we can say, like the Jewish leaders, well, I've never been a slave. And the question is, oh, yeah, you have. We all have been slaves. What have we been slave to? Have we been slave to our jobs? Have we been enslaved to our habits? Have we been slaves to our way of thinking that God wants to set us free from? The next point is a wandering. And as we go through our journey, we're going to be a wandering. And like those wise men, they were a wandering. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Christ. And as the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, they spent their whole lives, unfortunately, wandering. And it's not needed, because the third point is the promised land. God has called us not to be wanderers. He's called us to a promised land. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. There's going to be cities to conquer. There's going to be a wilderness to go through. And the most difficult piece is trust is going to be required. Belief is going to be required. When everything mounts up, it's going to be required. And then we'll get to the application. But before that, let's go to chapter 2 of Matthew. And let me read to you the chapter, and let me come back to you along the way. Chapter 2, and this is the Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Where is he? And who are the Magi? Well, they came from the east. And does Scripture talk about Magi? It sure does. If we would go all the way back to the book of Daniel, we would find that Daniel, by King Nebuchadnezzar, was put in charge over the Magi. Because why? Because God's spirit rested on him. He had the ways of being able to look at dreams that only God can interpret, and he shared that with them. And so these Magi, they come from the east. Did they come from Persia? It could very possibly be so. Why? Why did they come? Well, because of Daniel. Because Daniel was head of the Magi, the book of Daniel was written. It was read by all those who were under his authority. And that meant all of the Magi. They were very familiar with the writings of the book of Daniel, the coming of the Messiah. They knew that. And they were well prepared, while God's children were not so well prepared. And so where is the one, they said, who was born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So the Magi were astrologers. They looked up into the skies, into the heavens, and they saw this unusual sign, kind of like what we saw on December 21st, I think it was, when Jupiter and Saturn lined up and they created this star. I was coming back from Toledo. I was expecting to see, boom, this bright star. Is that there? Yeah, we pulled out our phones and our compass and said, I think that's it. And I said, really? That's it? We've had all this hype and that's all I get to see? I never would have noticed it. They didn't tell me about it, right? And this is exactly the point as well. The children of Israel didn't see it because it was so bright. The Magi saw it because it was so unusual. They knew that something was not right. They understood the planets as they would go through the solar system. They understood it's clockwork, but there's something that was unique. And only for the watching eye would see it. And they were familiar with the book of Daniel. So when they saw it, they were going back to the writings. And they came and they knew where this star was going. They knew what this meant. And they came and they asked, where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Wow. They came to worship. And that's because they had been prepared. Even though they were Gentiles from a faraway land, over time they were prepared because they saw before them Daniel, how he lived his life, how God intervened and saved his life in multiple cases, how Daniel stood firm and affirmed God's greatness. And so when they came, they knew that a king was coming. And they said, where is this King of the Jews? And he was, for we have seen his star, and it rose and has come to worship him. And what was Herod's experience? When Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He was agitated. He was angered. He was like, what? Nobody told me about this? What have you guys been doing? You've been falling asleep on the watch? Because he understood as a Roman, because the book of Daniel and its writings were also familiar. It's not as though this came completely out of the blue or a dark sky. So he was angry because they weren't watching, and he knew that there would be a Messiah. He knew that there would be a king of a Jew. Okay? What he was upset was, why didn't anybody tell me? Why am I the last one to know? When these guys come from a foreign land, they're coming to me, and they're asking me, and I should know these things. Well, maybe they're coming to me because, well, I have a son who's going to be the Savior. But he knew better. So he was disturbed. He was agitated. And in verse 4, when he had called together, who? He called together all of them. He woke them out of their beds. He says, oh, forget that dinner. Come over here. Report to me. He called them all. He called all the priests, the people's chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he asked them, where's the Messiah to be born? He got all the bigwigs together. Nobody was staying home. Nobody could say, I'm not feeling well today. He called them all together. He wanted their counsel. He wanted to know. He was calling them on the rug. And in Bethlehem, Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Far be it from you. They recognized that this is where it was going to happen. They were familiar. They weren't quickly searching their books to find out the answer, as though the teacher is asking a question and you have to quickly thumb through it. They knew the scriptures. They were just unprepared. And as he goes on here, who, as we pick up here, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. He will shepherd. God is so clear in the prophecies that he gives, the kind of ruler and Messiah he will have. Now, if you read the book of Daniel, you're going to see something a little different. You're going to see a king, the Son of God, coming in the clouds. You're going to see one who will claim his own with authority. And that's only part of the story, because we'll find out, as they found out, the Messiah, the Christ, the one they came to worship, was much different than they anticipated. Who will shepherd my people Israel? Not Jacob. Jacob was a heel grabber. Jacob was the guy that God took through the woodshed over and over and over until eventually Jacob found himself wrestling with God and grabbed a hold of him and says, I won't let you go till you give me a blessing. And God, I'll give you a blessing. No longer shall you be called Jacob, the heel grabber. No longer shall you be called the trickster, but you shall be called Israel. And there was a change that happened in his life. And this is the shepherd. He shepherds those who are Israel, God's chosen people, those declared to be his. Verse 7, and Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out to them the exact time the star had appeared. He wanted to know. He needed some more information. So secretly he calls them together. And why? Well, here he goes. And he sent them out to Bethlehem. He says, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Oh, that sounds good, right? He better have taught secretly, because all the other ones who work with him, who know him very well, would have gone, I don't think so. This isn't the guy we know, all right? But he wanted in private. And how often is that true? How often in the times in our lives we find ourselves kind of secretly going off and telling people things that, you know, we want to worship God, we want to do this, when those who are closest know, no, he doesn't. I don't think so. He's got an alternative motive. All right. But we'll find out, as Herod finds out, what happens when you give false testimony. Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen, which they had not been able to see, when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. So the story is like, what's going on here? Did the star disappear and therefore they go to the big man's house? They go to the one who should know where the king has been born? And they go to ask him, where is this king? And he says, go to Bethlehem. And as they come out, then they see again the star. It reappears. God is directing their lives. He started centuries, hundreds of years before with Daniel in preparing them. And now God uses a star to direct the Gentiles to the Messiah. And along the way, he has to stop and he's got to talk to the king, to Herod, and to all the religious leaders who, like Herod, were agitated. It wasn't just Herod who was agitated, but as you look up closer there, you realize that Jerusalem was agitated. Life was good for them. They didn't want things to change. The Messiah was good. We're glad, but we got it pretty good right now. We're being taken care of. And so they, like Herod, were agitated. Not like the wise men did they want to find the Messiah. They wanted to find the King of the Jews. They wanted to find the one who was the promise. Well, as they went and they rose and they went ahead until they stopped over the place where the child was, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw who? They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They didn't worship Mary. They worshiped him, the Christ child. And could you imagine what they found? It made sense to stop at Herod's place. There's a nice palace. Isn't that where a king would be? But instead, they find Mary and a child, and the dad not even around. And so they worshiped him. When you come to Christ and when you allow him to direct your life, there are so many things that you just do not know. You can't expect. Matter of fact, if you knew them, you'd probably say, I'll catch the next train. I'm not that interested in going through all this trials and tribulations. Those trials and tribulations for many people will come in no matter what. is who you're going with as you go through them. So they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then, well, they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Last week, Kim talked briefly to the mob of children here, okay, as she explained the difference as the different presents and what they meant. Gold for the king, frankincense is prayers and praises, and the myrrh can be used that for pain medicine, or it can be used that to prepare the body for death. And we look at that, and as Mary pondered that, she really must have wondered what was going on. When we look for the Christ, there are many things that's going to happen in our lives that we're going to do the same thing. It's part of the journey is that we ponder the things that come our way. Those things which are joyful, those things which are sorrowful. And we ponder them. We say, God, how could this possibly be? How can this time in my life be so difficult? And you say that you love me. How is it, Lord, that you simply cannot in your own ability remove this from me? And sometimes he does. And other times, if he doesn't, it's because of his love for us. Because the journey by which we will go down is one that not only will be better for us, and it prepares us for his kingdom, like Daniel, it will prepare the generations that come after us. The struggles that, as a grandparent, you go, first of all, are seen by your children. And they recognize, wow, I'm glad you allowed us to see it, Mom and Dad. So that we know when we're going through these trials that there is hope, that you do bring us through, that there is loss, but there is gain. It's not always about us. We're part of it. But it's about the next generation, or the generation that came back, becomes after that, or so on. It prepares us to prepare them to give glory to our God. That is the journey. So as we pick up here in verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. Oh, you just got to laugh, right? All right. Herod is real careful. Come here, guys. I want to tell you something. Get you in the huddle here. I want to worship him, okay? You need to go to Bethlehem. Find out where he is at. Make sure that you search carefully. And then quickly come back and tell me so that I, too, can worship him. And then God says, guess what, Herod? Got a different plan for my child here. Got a different plan for these wise men. And he sends them in a different route. A different route altogether. Some of our best laid plans that we make for the future, God says, I'm sending you a different way. I was looking to retire with a nice pension from education. I was like, this is going to be good. And then I can move on at a young age and do some other things. And God says, sorry, Dave, don't have that for you. Okay, we're going to take you out of the game a little sooner. And I'm thinking, okay, at least I'll be alive when I come out of this game. I think I will be. And then God took me out of education and he took my salary and he cut it in half. All right? But what he gave me was this opportunity here to come and to help Jim and to build something that is everlasting, a kingdom that is built by God and not a kingdom that is built by men. And was that road hard? Oh, my. It was extremely hard. But in through it, you say, God, isn't there an easier way? He goes, sure there is. But there's not a better way. And he takes you through it. He takes a way to be able to give. And those are the lessons my children look and say, God, oh, Dad, thank you for letting us see it. Thank you for being transparent. Thank you for letting us see your tears, your prayers. And then when this last week, just last night, I prayed with my daughter. And I prayed with my son-in-law. Because they're going through trials. And as a parent, it's tough. And you hurt for them. But having gone through the journey, you recognize you got to go through it. Be courageous. God will take away, but he will give back. He will send you a different way. And as we pick up in verse 13, and when they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He says, get up. No, not tomorrow. No. Not when you get all your stuff together. Get up. It's time to go. Get up, he said, and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. This is an escape. This is when you go out in the middle of the night when everyone is sleeping. The same star that led them here is now the angel who leads them out in the cloak of night through the darkest part of their lives. And he says, stay there, go to Egypt and stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Holy God, you had those hosts of angels that showed to the shepherd. Isn't there no other way? Can't you, kind of zap them? Can't you just bring an end to this really quickly and protect us? It's kind of comfortable here. He goes, no, you're going through this journey and I will send you to Egypt. And so they got up and they took the child and his mother during the night and they left for Egypt. Does that sound familiar? Going to Egypt. If we remember Abraham, okay, given the promised land. And we're talking about Isaac and Jacob. We're talking about going out of the promised land and going to Egypt, a land that they had to go to for a time being, where they stayed until death of Herod. And so was fulfilled that the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, okay. One of the presents that I got my grandson, Mason, who is 9 years old, is a chess set, okay? And so Christmas Day, he wants to pull out this chess set, and we're playing chess, okay? This is the mind of a 62-year-old, okay? This is the mind of a 9-year-old. His mind is quick, mine not so quick, all right? I got experience. He has none. It was looking good for me, right? Until his dad decided to join in. And then I found it was 2-1. And here we have Mason, who's very quick. He blows everything you want to do because there's no rhyme nor reason to what he does. I'm just going to move here. Great. That wrecks that move. It's not like he was strategic. But then his dad goes, no, Mason, next move, let's go over here. And I'm going, that's not good. All right, outwitted. It was a tie. Just to let you know, it was a tie. But in this particular case, the wise men, the Magi, they won out because God was on their side. And he directed them to go a different way. And did that make him happy? Oh, no, it did not make him happy. And he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what he said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. And what was that? It is a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Part of the journey is weeping. Part of the journey is a time where there is no comfort, when you are felt like everything has left you and you are all alone. We're going to see this because what we see in the scriptures are patterns. We see the children of Israel going through this. We see Jesus going through this. And we see here that not only are we the ones who can struggle along the way, but there are others as well, because God is bringing many, many others along the journey. And though it would seem to be unfair that these would suffer while the Christ child escaped, God was working in their lives, provided comfort to them as he provides comfort to us. In verse 19, then Herod died. Oh, good thing. And the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And he says, this is it, boy. Get up. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, the land that I have promised you. I'm bringing you back. For those who were trying to take the child's life, well, they are dead. So he got up And he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in the town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Jeremiah, Daniel, the prophecy, he should be called. God has his plan. He will accomplish it. It will take us in many directions and ways we're thinking, do we really have to go? Sometimes we may be called in the middle of the night to leave and to go someplace else. God will accomplish it, and he will bring us to the place he wants us to be. And he does so with the child, with Christ. Every one of the prophecies fulfilled in a way that only God can fulfill it. As we look and conclude here, let's think about this. A journey worth taking. Are you willing to get on board? They came from afar. How far have you come? How far have I come? How far is God going to take us? Well, they came bearing gifts, and we give them our soul. We give them our life. We surrender it to him. And when we do, we go to a place unknown. We go to an unexpected find. And when we worship, we return a different people, a people that God wants us to call us his own, Israel, no longer Jacob. And where does he take us? He prepares us for a faraway place that he is preparing. And we escape slavery. What are we enslaved to? Think about it. You know what it was. I was enslaved to my job. I was a slave to my success. Over and over, it was a pattern of my life. I just built it. I had to maintain it. It was a treadmill I could not get off until God knocked me off. He prepares us. As we look at the hindsight with 2020 of this year, God has taken not only you and me, this congregation, he has taken this country and this world in a direction it never could have expected it. And so with hindsight 2020, let's look at that. Where are we going? What are we doing? Who are we trusting in? When we look at what God has done in our life, what he does in the life of Christ, what he does in the life of all his children, it helps prepare us for the application. That's for the insight of 2021. We would like to say, well, I'm glad 2020 is behind me. Hey, folks, 2021 is on its heels, and it doesn't promise to be good. All the things that have been kicked down the road are going to be coming in 2021. But God has prepared us. We don't know where it's going, but we know who we're going with. I'm going to close with this last piece, Psalm 103. You'll see at the bottom of your bulletin, praise the Lord, my soul, all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not what? All his benefits. Well, what are they? He forgives my sins. He heals my diseases. He brings justice for the oppressed. He brought his people out of Egypt, exile. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. These are the benefits. He shows compassion to his people as a father does for his children. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is what we look at when we look at 2021 with anticipation of what's coming. Let's close with a word of prayer. At this time, the praise team will come up. And they prepare, I'll close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that there is nothing that we can ever suffer that you did not. And when we go with you, there is nothing that those who have followed in times past that we cannot escape as well. But in doing so, Lord, as we take this journey with you, it is with you. And it is preparing us not only for what we have ahead, but it's preparing our children, the next generation. It's preparing our grandchildren, and we do not know. And when the star rises, we never thought it would end where it's at. And for many of us, as it's waning, we can see more clearly what lies ahead. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, Design for Life. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.